वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 16, and Text 14.
Asya pratihatam chakram.
Asya pratihatam chakram.
Asya pratihatam chakram.
Asya pratihatam chakram.
Vitor amana sacholat sacholat. Pritor amana sa chalat. Vartate bhagavan vap arko.
Vartate bhagavan arko.
Yavatta patigo ganae. Yavata pati go ganai. Asya prati hatam chakram. Pritor amanasa chalat. Vartate bhagavan arko. Yavata pati go ganai. Asya of this king, apratihatam, not being impeded, chakram, the circle of influence, prito, of King Prithu, amanasha, achalat, up to Manasa Mountain. Vartate remains. Bhagavan, the most powerful. Arka, sun god. Yavat, just as. Tapati, shines. Koganai, with the rays of light. Translation Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Just as the sun god expands his shining rays up to the arctic region without impedance, the influence of King Prithu will cover all tracts of land up to the arctic region and will remain undisturbed as long as he lives. Prabhupada, although the arctic region is not visible to ordinary persons, the sun shines there without impediment. Just as no one can check the sunshine from spreading all over the universe, no one could check the influence and region of ring of King Prithu, which would remain undisturbed as long as he lived. The conclusion is that the sunshine and the sun god cannot be separated, nor could King Prithu and his ruling strength be separated. His rule all over everyone would continue without disturbance. Thus the king could not be separated from his ruling power. The description of King Prithu Maharaj. He is an empowered incarnation of Krishna. Actually the whole universe, of course, is controlled by Krishna, and so even this in this world, this is a material world, nonetheless is under the direction of God. So Prithu Maharaj here, he is the empowered incarnation of Krishna, and he rules over the world. Bharatvarsha means the greater India. Is known as Bharatvarsha, and the Pandavas 5,000 years ago they ruled the whole world. Some parts of the world like Europe, these places they exist, but the primary place was Bharatvarsha, where the Pandavas ruled, where today known as Delhi, is originally known as Hastinapur. They ruled the whole world, and places like Europe and America, all these places, they were like, it was there, but inhabitants, there was like the forest, but according to the Vedic statements, that the those places were not civilized, forest, full of forest. And you can actually even read the recent histories. The Western world was just goes back up to 2,000 years BC. But if you read the our Asian Indian history, even it goes up tens of thousands of years. So, but the Western society don't believe that, because they think their history is superior to Vedic history. That's because they don't have the spiritual understanding. If you can believe in Krishna and how Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, then you will also believe that how the Vedic society existed during that time. Because Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, and prior to that, Lord Ram and other incarnation, and goes back to Satyayuga. Satyadhapar, this is Kali Yuga. So it depends on your understanding, and you have your conclusion. But the actual conclusion is stated in the Bhagavatam. If you can believe the statements of Bhagavatam, then that statement is the absolute statement, that truth is in the Bhagavatam. But you don't believe in God, if you don't believe in the Bhagavatam, then obviously you take your conclusion, you take your beliefs from other sources, like the modern science. So Bhagavatam giving the root of the conclusion is that the absolute truth is written by Vyasadeva, Bhagavan, empowered God. So Prithu Maharaj, or he is ruling in this whole world. One need to study the Bhagavatam to get the right understanding. If we not accept this truth from the Bhagavatam, then we will simply take knowledge from the academic books that they have, science, modern science. But the modern science is full of flaws. So we have to always. So today I'm going to speak a little bit of a few other things. There's two types of Bhagavatam, okay? Book Bhagavatam and the Devotee Bhagavatam. Devotee Bhagavatam is the Bhagavatam that they speak about Krishna. And the Bhagavatam that we are reading from is also giving stories of Krishna, talks about Krishna. This is Bhagavatam, Bhagavan, the talking about Krishna. So a devotee Bhagavatam means one who is also talking about Krishna. They're speaking out. Leaving Bhagavatam. The devotee, they're leaving. So devotee Bhagavatam is one who is showing by their own example about Krishna. And the Bhagavatam explains about Krishna. So book Bhagavatam and a devotee Bhagavatam. So, devotee Bhagavatam means who we can witness them right now. That they're showing the example of how to become Krishna conscious. They're leaving their example in this life. So, the devotee Bhagavatam is like Srila Prabhupada and his devotees. So, Srila Prabhupada is a living Bhagavatam. So we have, if those who haven't seen Prabhupada, we still have videos and photos of Prabhupada was here recently. So that's devotee Bhagavatam. And all of you are devotees, you speak about Krishna. So you are like a Bhagavatam. So I'm going to speak a little bit about how devotees, they pass away. And we all have to go one day. We can't live here forever. So that's the truth. Prabhupada used to give the example of people living in a hotel. You don't live in a hotel and make all arrangements to live there for a long time, because you know that you have to leave one day. You don't adjust the chairs and paint the wall and think that you're going to stay there forever. So we are living in this world short term. We don't make arrangements to live here forever, like in the hotel. That's the truth. Time is clicking, click, 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 at the back of our shoulder. We don't make arrangements to stay here forever. Mature world is a temporary place. You all know, one time we were a child, and now we are adult, and getting older and older. The body gets older and older. Just like a car. Yeah. European car, Indian car. Indian car maybe not that good. But people want a really good car, a BMW. That's the European car. So this is just the body. The most important thing out of any vehicle is the driver. Without the driver, you can have any fancy type of car. It doesn't matter. So the body is constantly changing. Like, so many years ago, I can still remember, oh, I was a young boy and so energetic. I'm still energetic, huh? So we think, oh, I was so young, handsome, beautiful, this and that. But don't think that way, because it's the body changing. You are always beautiful and handsome and strong, because the body constantly changes, because the body is material, and material element of this material world, it will dwindle and die like everything else. Pandita Samadarsina, a scholarly person, a devotee, a pandita, Samadarsina, he sees that all these things is falling apart, but he is equivalent. He is not lamenting, because he knows that is the nature of this material world. Nothing can do about it. Nothing. You can chant Hare Krishna. That's the only thing you can do. So, birth and death meet too. Material world is a place of birth and death. Once you've taken birth, you have to die. That is certain, Krishna says. But you don't die. Atma, the soul, never dies. Atmagyan. Knowledge of the soul has been explained in the Bhagavatam. The importance of the driver. We are looking at the car. Oh, beautiful. You see, on the weekends, people come home and they're cleaning the car and soaking it and hours and hours. So we're cleaning our car, our body, the covering. Oh, yeah, yeah, my family is better than your family. I have this, you don't have that. But everything here is temporary. Cleaning, the Prabhupada is to give the example of a cage. In the cage, the bird, you know, cheep, 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 cheep. You know, the birds, you look at the beautiful bird. But you don't think of the bird, you're cleaning the cage too much. So you're cleaning our body, but we're not feeding our soul, the soul knowledge. We forget to feed the bird. So, you know, I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement in the early 70s. Some people, we are here as a child, we are brought up by mother. So we have two types of mother, the spiritual master and the person who gave you birth, the mother and the father. They are also known as guru, the spiritual master. Because they're teaching us how to behave ourselves, how to be a good person, how to become Krishna conscious. So they are also not only a mother or father, they're also a spiritual teacher. So last Sunday, last Sunday was Ekadashi. So it's a very special time of the year. This is a Kartik month, and Ekadashi, within this Kartik time, is a very very good time to make spiritual progress. That's why so many of you come to temple. So leading up to the story, I came to Krishna consciousness due to my mother. She helped me to come to Krishna in Mayapur.
I didn't actually want to join Hare Krishna and become a sadhu. I was quite happy to live in the village.
In India, village is slowly going. People are building, buildings also like here. So in my time, in the 70s, there's a lot of forest. I loved it. I love field and forest, countryside. I don't like city. That's why whenever I have the opportunity, run away to the sea, to the countryside. And even in Melbourne, even way out, way out, they're still taking away the forest and building concrete houses. So my mother came to the village where I was staying, and because I was starting a school in Mayapur, Gurukul, and someone said they were just grabbing anybody from the streets because they wanted to start a Gurukul. It was like a Howrah station in Calcutta. It wasn't like that, because there are regulations in India. If you want to take someone, you don't just take it from the street, because there are regulations. So then they wanted people to start the family who had a child so they can start a school. And they want some ladies that they can cook and do stuff, not just anyone. Anyway, so my mother came to the village where I was staying. Away in the whole village knew that my mother's there. And then they all came to see her. She came to take me to bring me to Mayapur, and everybody hid me in the forest somewhere. So I didn't see her. Just brought me out once just to see her, because they were afraid that I would be going with her to Mayapur.
So I saw her, and she looked really not like ordinary women. Because you're there every day with your mother, what your mother looks like. You're not like, oh yeah, my mother, no big deal.
But that time I saw, she had a kind of an effulgence around her. I'm not boasting, but she did. She was wearing just ordinary sari, but she looked different.
She had this bead bag. I never saw one bead bag. And the Hare Krishna people, they have really fancy bead bag. Like, maybe the beads are not good, but the bead bags are really fancy.
There's a huge bead bag. And I thought, I don't know if everybody else saw that, but I could see that she has this effulgent. But then everybody's saying she's gone mad. Don't go with her. She's become a sadhu, some beggar. And I was thinking, I don't think so, because she has a different look. She has this effulgent coming from her. Others didn't see it. But then everybody convinced me to not go with her. So I just stayed. She had to go back, Mayapur, almost 6 months. During that time, I'm thinking, next time she comes, I'm going to Mayapur. I don't care what. So I was making plans the whole time. So I reached the train station. I took the rice field the next time she came. And she took the main road. So I met her at the train station through the rice field. So nobody knew where I was. And so then that's how I... And they all my uncle and everybody came to the train station. I said, too late. I'm going to become a Hare Krishna devotee. So that's how that was 1973. And then, she was very, very strict about Krishna consciousness. Straight away, they threw me in the Gurukul. Gurukul today and that time is different. Today, you can do whatever you like, a lot of facility, a good prasadam. That time means a lot of hard work. We had to clean all the toilet. They said, doing menial service makes you humble. You know how many toilets there are in Mayapur, in the Lotus building? But the Gurukul boys to clean that every day. A little bit chanting, had to get up 3:30 in the morning. So it's a lot of hard work. So one of the teachers was very not good to me. And there's one Mataji from America, big fat lady like this, from LA. She used to clean my ear with this scrubber, metal scrubber. I was screaming. I said, let me, I can clean myself. when I was very young. So then I complained to her, my mother. She said, these white people from America, they are demigods. Their Prabhupada brought them here from America and Europe. They must be very special. They are very, very unique. They are demigods. And even me, I say, wow. So then, so just listen to what they tell you. So I had nobody to complain. I thought she was very fanatical. Really fanatical. Everybody was like that during that time. So I'm telling these stories about her because, and she, my mother was single from the age of 30, young lady. And I was 6 years old. So she had some difficulty over the years in Mayapur. But then she just very strong lady, you can stay Krishna conscious somehow and work very hard. Sometimes devotees say she was like a slavery. I said devotional service, not slavery. But she, I complained, they said she's working too hard. She used to make like 10,000 chapati on her own. She said, I don't need anybody. So she go down to the kitchen and cooks there all day. And then last 2 years, she was really, really old. So they gave her a room on top of the kitchen, so she can go down the kitchen. So it takes about half an hour to get down the steps to go to the kitchen, because she's so old. So she would go down and just sit there, look everybody at cooking and cutting up, because she's observing. Even though she didn't want to cook, she couldn't cook or do anything. But she just the feel of it. She's still in that mood of service. So nobody knows her because she's so immersed in the service there. So, anyway, so some people say she was overworked, and then she was taking all this medicine, and she was sick last 2 years. I went to see her a few years ago, like 5 years ago. Even that time she was sick. She was eating like plate full of medicine, like we eat plate full of prasadam. So sometimes when you take too much medicine, that will kill you, actually. It's not the devotional service. You take too much medicine. In India, some of the medicines, they expire. Australia, America, they give it to India. They say, oh yeah, from America. So that makes them more sick. So she was eating all this Jagrat Gamaras. So that every time I went to see her, I didn't like to talk to her. Because she's always complaining. He didn't buy me a house in Mayapur. And he didn't do this, he didn't do that. 20 brahmacharis are there to take care of her. And she was not happy. She needed me to be there also. You know, Indian Maharajis, they're never happy. They're always complaining. I don't know about you all, Bengali Maharajis. So then, these are unlimited desires. I said, look, you know, I've joined and you join Hare Krishna movement because we want to become Krishna conscious, go back to Godhead. Not build a house and live here. Life is temporary and short. We can live under the hut, like the Goswamis, under each tree and chant Hare Krishna. I don't need a house, but be healthy. So I didn't call her. I gave her a phone so we can talk. Then she got so old, she can hear me shouting. So I didn't call, so complain. Because I said, because you complain too much, I don't want to talk with you. So then, everybody. And so, my point is that if you are Krishna conscious, Krishna will take care of you. Have faith. Really. And then, the different thing happened. Another thing, my dad, he came to the Hare Krishna when they weren't getting along before they joined. So they were like quarreling from when you were small. This is why she took up shelter of Krishna. And so she, I was very attached to her because she was always very nice to me. So then my dad joined Hare Krishna and took initiation for Prabhupada. His name was Atul Krishna. And then his whole motive was to take near mother out of ISKCON. So after initiation he took out, he just left ISKCON. So then he used to come to every time. And he was a tantric. he can change your mind and then chant mantra on you and all these things. Like a tantric means like a, someone who has the power to mind.
Or is it?
Black magic kind of thing. So everybody said, oh, when he came, they locked me up in a room. And my mother, another room. At the top of the... So he didn't know where we were. So they make sure he's gone, then they let us out. So one day I just came across him. He said, you are coming with me. I said, yeah, yeah, for sure. I was really scared. So then, doing the Guru Puja, Babananda, who was the manager, so he called us up in the... in an office. I said, a very serious thing. So that was my dad was there, my mother was there, and a translator. And then they said, are you, what's your decision? You want to stay in Hare Krishna with your mother, or you want to go with your dad? I said, I'm staying here with my mother in Hare Krishna. He got so angry, he said, you told me you're coming with me. I said, I'm just scared, so that's why I said, I'm actually staying. So he got really angry, he stomped out. And he went to made a court case against the Hare Krishna ISKCON. They said that they were stealing me and my mother and brainwashing us. And I like the brainwashing because we need to clean our brain by chanting Hare Krishna. So many lifetimes full of desires. Need to clean the brain, not with soap, by chanting Hare Krishna. It's the best place to be at the temple to do that. So then I had to go to the court in Navadvip, me and my mother. And the guy, the judge was saying, what do you want to do? I said, I'm staying this time, same thing. So he wrote a statement, he's a young boy and he doesn't know what he's saying. He's brainwashed by the Shahids, by the Americans. Because at that time there was no Indian devotees, it was only white. So then it went on for a few years. And my father was a very good friend with the Gauriya Math. There's a Gauriya Math down the road, Madhav Maharaj. They are jealous of ISKCON. They're jealous of Hare Krishna. And that time they were really big time. Our temple was very small. We were just living out of huts. Now we are big time there. Mayapur is the biggest in all of India. So they have just become small. So they are funding my father to have a court case. That's according to Harishari Prabhu. And then after 2 years we won. And the judge said, I'm supposed to be the son of Prabhupada. He's my guardian. So officially I'm the son of Prabhupada. Like, he's guarding me. So that's why I always so fast about Prabhupada. Actually, we should always be, Prabhupada's mercy right here. He's our real guardian. But officially he's my guardian, but by court law. Yeah. I like it. So even if I sometimes try to leave ISKCON and go away, somehow I end up at the temple. Because Prabhupada is dragging me back. And I was in China for 10 years, I lived in Hong Kong for 5 years, 15 years. And I was so busy with yoga, I was teaching yoga, 5 classes a day. You can imagine, 30 classes a week of yoga. I come and do yoga 2 times a week and nothing. I'm so busy, and if there is a festival, I would run to Hong Kong, because it's 2 hours from China, for a program. And then, so I had so much independence, So when I came here, I got a letter from Giridhari Maharaj, who's GBC in China. He said, very good. You were so independent, and all of them searching with Karmi, and doing yoga, and associated Karmi means, the China, they are doing all growth. So it's really good that I'm here. And when I came here, I was thinking, I don't want to go to the temple. I'll just work outside. And then I called Aniruddha, the president, and he's an old friend of mine. He said, oh, you're here in Melbourne, come here. I said, oh, I'll see you like in a few days. He said, not today. And then I actually stayed in the hotel for a week. Didn't want to be here. And I was looking for a place. Everything is miracle. You know, if you want to stay, if you want to get renting a place in Melbourne, it's not that easy. Sometimes it takes months to get a place. So I had 1 week to get out of the hotel, and I need a place. I was desperate. So I booked online from China,
But when I came here, it doesn't work. It's just some cheating. Luckily, I didn't pay any money. So then, I was really desperate to, because the hotel's costing 1 week in the hotel. And so then, the last day of the hotel, everybody wants a reference. Where was the last place I stayed? A letter from the last tenant. I was in China 15 years. I don't have I could get a tenant from China. So I was like really desperate. You know what happened? Exactly after 1 week, I got a place. Can't believe it. Yeah, I spoke Chinese to the Chinese real estate. They say you don't need the second copy. Just it's okay. She said, "Oh, you're Indian, you can speak Chinese." And I'm like, "Wow, well, you're such a good man." And it's actually not, it's Radha Vallabha, his mercy, so that I can be here. So then I got a place, and a really good place, like where I, you know, at that time. And then I came here, I could work, I could serve here and everything. So it's all Krishna's arrangement. So all along is because my mother has brought me to ISKCON. That's why I'm here. As I started off with the talk, this mother is the guru. Don't think, so that's why as a mother, you have to give your child Krishna consciousness. Don't just some become an Australian. Kadamba Karamwar, last time you were saying the Indian kids, they go to the school, they're Aussie. Come home, they're Indian. You know, they eat burgers and come home, eat chapati. The thing is, so our idea is not that we come here to become Westerner. We're here to become Krishna conscious. Learn the English language so you can pass your, you can get a visa. I can speak English and I can teach these Australians English. I have a degree in teaching English. You know. Then the way they speak English, you can never understand. So funny. So, my point is, mother is important. We had so many mother. You know, dog mother, cat mother, snake mother, fish mother, tree mother, unlimited births. All mothers and fathers. But a mother and dad that makes us Krishna conscious, that's a guru. That's a special mother. That's what we can talk about. That's why I said, book Bhagavata, devotee Bhagavata, who can make you Krishna conscious. So, just last Sunday, my mother suddenly passed away. I got a call from Mayapur. So, passing away of a devotee. I was at Ekadashi, at Kartik time in Mayapur. Everybody said, and it was in the morning, 11 o'clock, before the sun, at the meridian point in the middle of the day. That time is supposed to be a very lucky time. Right. Devotees die any time, it's lucky. But Krishna wanted to make sure that she's... And in India, when devotees pass away, we don't keep them in a room for days and checking if, it's, you know, if they poison her or anything. They just burn the body in the Ganges in the same day. So she passed away in the morning. By afternoon, they already burned her. I got all the videos and photos. So it's not that I'm crying over and everything. I think it's good thing because she can leave this sick body and go to a place where she can have a spiritual body. She can serve Krishna more in a better way than here. So, you know, Krishna is always protecting us. But we sing, Janme Janme Prabhu said, the spiritual master is always life after life, is our guru. See, if we initiate with Prabhupada, initiate with our guru, if we stay loyal to our guru, we can be still with the guru in the next life. But we need to become qualified in this life. So, she used to cook for Prabhupada. There was no cooks that time. I remember one time, American Mataji, they dare not take her service away because she was the best cook.
Anyone came from America, they had no idea how to cook. So one day, after Prabhupada left, she was still cooking for the sannyasis during the Mayapur festival for the GVCs. So one Mataji, she said, you get out of the kitchen, I'm cooking. So there's one sabji called, we call it dalna. It's made of paneer, we always make paneer sabji, peas, and cauliflower, and potato. It's supposed to be very gravy. So they were serving the GVCs, all the paneer was floating on top. And there's no gravy, just water, like a soup. They said, who cooked today? Obviously not my mother. She doesn't cook like that. So they were really angry with her. She was back in the kitchen the next day. So, and during the winter in Mayapur, they make gore. You know gore? Molasses, gore, sugar from a date tree. Date sugar. Oh my God. You eat date sugar, whatever happens to you, you're happy because you have the date sugar. You don't care about that. That date sugar, it's you can have it somewhere else in Mayapur, but not Mayapur, somewhere else. But when you have it in Mayapur, it's the unique taste. Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, he said, I only eat vegetables that are grown in Mayapur, not even from Calcutta, because this is his all spiritual world. It has a special flavor. So they used to, in India, they grate the coconut. They have a knife at the end. It's like all this thing, and all the coconut, they grated it. So she used to grate the coconut, fresh coconut, and cook it with the date gourd. I mean, I can still smell it, you know, like just the thought of it. So she cooked this date gourd coconut in the winter time, because date sugar is really good in the winter. Summertime, the ras, the juice, after the sunrise, it ferments, become tari, wine. So you have to take it off the tree before the sun rise and boil it. So it's very tasty. The Prabhupada loved that stuff. And if you go to Mayapur, if you don't know all these things, you have to talk to locals. During the winter, we will go have a big cup, I go down the road and have this date ras. The devotees are going with a big cup, and I had this big water bottle. Drinking, we have to go to the toilet a lot because devotees are going and drinking that. They told Prabhupada, you know, these guys are Maya, they're drinking after Mangala, they're going because before sunrise. Big cups. And Prabhupada said, oh, really? Bring me some. They also wanted. So it became very official. And then everybody's going to drink after Mangala instead of chanting japa. So then what they did, they started to have outside the temple. They made from our own trees so the devotees can have it instead of going outdoor. And so they cook that date gourd. Takes a long time to boil it down. So cooked down, it becomes condensed. So you make coconut laddu with that. You heard of coconut laddu? We're always making laddu here, chickpea laddu. Yeah. Almost break your teeth. It's so hard. But people like it. That's the way it is. It's a Gujarati sweet. Because in Gujarat, they don't have much water, so everything is dry, so they have to make it very hard. So, if you go to Bengal, all the sweets are very juicy. Because people are very sweet, I guess. They like juicy sweets. And including Prabhupada. So, don't blame me, because Prabhupada likes it. So then, my mother used to make... So, if you go to Mayapur today, they have this glass jar. If you go in his room in the third floor, in the Lord's building, there's a glass jar, it's empty. Prabhupada used to have coconut laddu in that. And he used to give to the guest. So, the only person who was making that was my mother. So I said, oh, I love that stuff. Because, you know, in our temple, if you want to eat something, you have to go to the shop and buy it. They didn't have outlet like today. So I said, oh, when you make some, just keep some for me also. She said, no way, you're in Maya. This is for Prabhupada. How you can dare to say that? I said, okay, fine. I said, come on, you're my mother. Just have some sympathy on me. Just keep a few pieces for me, you know. But she was not very kind. She was a little bit macho type of devotee. Those are the people that are like that. And so, I thought I have a good idea. I don't want one piece. I don't have a big pot like this much. Have it in my pocket, all the pocket, big bag. Have a lot with me. I also have a very big bag. And the beads are very tiny. There's a lot of kushari in it. Sometimes dry, sweet, it's good because there's no juice in it. So then I put them in the pocket, those ones. So then, if you want to see Prabhupada, he had those laddus. So if you want to get those laddus, you have to see Prabhupada. I was this girl's age, you know, very young, and everybody says, oh, if you go, he'll give you. But I didn't trust them, but Prabhupada, like, Prabhupada was not actually, you know, he was very, very soft and very nice. So then if you want to see him, you have to go through the guard. They have a guard there. That was Harishari Prabhu. You know Harishari Prabhu? So he was the guard. And he liked me. So I go see him. He said, no problem, go see him. Anytime. So I, Prabhupada was sitting there and he would give me the coconut laddu. And I can't believe it. He was so nice. That, I mean, everybody's so afraid of him. He's actually not like that. He'd give me one coconut laddu. I was really hoping that he'd give me at least two or three. One. They're not that big. They had to fit into the jar. So I go down to the back, eat it, and come back. You need to wash your hands, but I didn't. So he gave me another one. 5-6 times. He didn't do that. And this lovely coconut lattice. So then after Prabhupada left this planet, I says, you dare not say anything, make a big jar, I will pay for it. I was coming from Australia, so there's a lot of money. She was just poor, cooking in the kitchen, no money. I told her, you're not, you know, Indian people, they come to Australia, they bring their mother, their grandmother, grandfather, every damn person. You know, they're all here, build a house. I said, you're not living one step out of Mayapur. You're staying in the holy town. I'm going to go around the world and preach and be staying here. So I would go every year, come from the world tour, go to my home. I said, where's the coconut laddus? When I should make big thing of coconut laddu, I was to bring back to Australia for all the devotees in Sydney. And sometimes to take to the Polish tour. And Indra Dunamar loves it. So where's the coconut laddu? I said, I ate them all. Say, you're nonsense. You're not coming to my tour. I'm keeping your money and your ticket. You're not going anywhere. I said, you can have them because I relish coconut laddu more than those things. Because Prabhupada liked them. So, I'm glorifying my mother because she used to make them. But sometimes they make this coconut laddu with sugar. Never the same. Because sugar, it's dry and it will fall apart. And it's very crunchy and hard. They made date gourd, it's soft and brownish color and is a unique taste. They put a little bit of camphor in it. I don't know, like, you know, not this camphor, food camphor. So there was this sense unique. So she was a really good cook. So somebody just wrote on the Facebook said, when she passed away, she took all the recipe with her. And Babananda, you know Babananda, he used to always ask me, go to Mayapur and find out all the recipe and write, make a book. You can call him and ask him. He used to always do that. I said, I just learned from you. Who has the time to write a book? And you know, you live in Mayapur, you ask her. Because you're, you know, GBC and you can get someone to, you know, but he didn't do it. So, you know, she has loved, my mother has a lot of glory, you know. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Prabhupada's closest person. So every day, Prabhupada Maharaj had remnants from Prabhupada. And then everybody else, all the Prabhupada's remnants, they eat it immediately. But he was very understanding. But he would always keep a little bit for the cook. Prabhupada's personal remnants, can you imagine? And so my mother also didn't just eat it, gave a little bit. Even a tiny bit, Prabhupada's remnants, you know, that's unique. So I had remnants from Prabhupada every day because of her. Yeah. And you guys fight over your Guru's Maha, Prabhupada's remnants, can you imagine? And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj gave my mother a pair of shoes that belonged to Prabhupada. She had it for years, years and years. So then I was thinking I will take from her, because she can die anytime, and bring it to... I was living in Hong Kong. So I went to get that shoe. I was really excited. She said, I lost it. She said, some Russian devotee got in her room and broke the trunk and took it out. I said, tell me who. She said, I don't know. I don't know. So I was like really frustrated. You know, proper shoe and, you know. Anyway, you know, the devotee is our real friend. So just a couple of years, like 5 years ago, she was living with Didi Ma. Didi Ma means elderly mother. She is also Guru Prabhupada. That lady, Prabhupada met her. Prabhupada says, who's your guru? He says, and so on, so. So Prabhupada says, I can initiate you because you initiated by your guru is bona fide. Sometimes our people, they're snatching our people, initiating them. Even if they have a bona fide guru, just so they can have some disciples from ISKCON. But Prabhupada was very understanding. He didn't initiate. So Didi Ma was, my mother was living with Didi Ma. So she also cooked for Prabhupada after many years. And then Didi Ma passed away some time ago. So then they had some trouble because my mother was taking care of her, and then some room problem, living in the room. So I never really took care of her. I said, she joined ISKCON, I'm proper son by law. You have to listen to me. So I told my upper authorities, take care of my mother. I'm going around the world, I'm brahmachari at that time, and I don't have money. And Indra Maharaj is holding all my money that I have. So then I told them, take care of my mother. And they were. But like I said, they always complain, even if they have everything. Because ladies, I think, they always need someone. Like husband, and they need a home, their own kitchen, whatever. And you go to their kitchen, this is my kitchen, get out. You know, they jump like that. I don't know. So she always wanted a place of her own. I said, your home is Mayapur. You are lucky here. I always preached to her. She understands me. But so never can still go back to complaining. Even, oh yeah, yeah, you're right. And then blah, blah, start complaining again. Doesn't get it. So that Prabhupada gave her everything. She got second initiation. Prabhupada asked her to count. You know, you're supposed to count starting here. These are lines. For three lines on top, you don't put your finger on top. All the power will go. So you start counting here, go through the... This is called kar, the lines. So keep your finger on the line. So Prabhupada said, count your finger, do the Gayatri. She was doing it in all different areas, couldn't do it. So Prabhupada said, this lady, they looked at the authorities, this lady is not Brahmana. She doesn't even know how to count. Then Prabhupada said, doesn't matter because we need to cook for our mother. So you're Brahman initiated. So Brahman thread doesn't mean you are Brahman. I have a big, big fat thread. I can tie a cow with it. It doesn't mean, or you scratch your back with it. You know? Brahman thread is nothing. Women don't have Brahman thread. It's the qualification. Your quality is what makes you Brahman. So then I relaxed. You know? And Prabhupada was giving, I mean, there's a famous story, Prabhupada was giving a talk in Bombay somewhere. And the microphone in India is always some filling around. So he said, take off your thread, give it to me. So he tied the brown thread to the microphone. And at the end, the brahmachari was really, really like he was turned red. He said, I guess he was thinking, I hope Prabhupada gives the brown thread back. That's not a Brahman anymore. So Prabhupada was, you know, he took it off and gave it back to him. In the 70s, if you're Brahman initiated, you're big time. You're like a GVC. You know, you get all the VIP treatment. Hot chapatis and a prasadam from the deity. You know, I was like desperate into Brahman initiation. And I was just turned 11. And I got Brahmacharya. And they said, chapati is only for the white people, you know, because they can't eat rice. I said, and those Brahmanas. I said, get out of here, I'm Brahma, look at you. I'm looking like 11 years old. Oh yeah, sorry. And made me sit in the line with the Brahmanas teaching. That's not the purpose of Brahmanization, to eat chapatis. But there was a lot of respect. So, you know, it's all the mercy of my mother, and I'm sure. And even though she gave me a lot of hard time, and it's her blessing, you know. Jayapataka Maharaj, he never beat me. But he slapped me once. But that was really bad. You know, they had the banana tree in the temple, we were cleaning, I was throwing them down in front of the deity. So he slapped me. He took me up and says, years later, 20 years later, he said, I'm very sorry I slapped you once. I said, oh, it's okay, your mercy. And so, mother, they slap you around from time to time, but sometimes overdid it. I won't go into details. But you can understand later that, you know, they are giving you consciousness, spiritual Krishna consciousness, you forgive everything. The Prabhupada time, so many things was very funny. But when he saw Prabhupada, oh, he forgot everything. Because of his presence, Prabhupada's presence, everything was just fantastic. So last Sunday, my mother passed away. Everybody says, going back to Godhead. And so I hope I can follow in the footsteps. I can also go back to Godhead. So I have more chance of going back to Godhead now than before. Because now, if she is with Krishna, she can tell, it's my son, he has to come also. Doesn't mean... Someone said, once you leave Arjuna's body, you don't have any more connection. It's a different chapter. But not in the case of a devotee. Devotees, they're always connected to you. I think. I hope. So, if I'm a little bit of a nonsense, I have the guarantee. So, we should be very careful to always make sure that we are always Krishna conscious and have the blessings of our parents. You know, sometimes your parents may be not devotee, but they're watching. You know, and your son is so good devotee. Then they follow your example. So I want people. So it's not like we are sadhana. You know, we're spiritual people. In spiritual, ultimately, in the spiritual level, we're not son or daughter or father or mother. Everyone is serving Krishna. But then we need to follow the etiquette, have respect and understanding. So, you know, only thing is that I wasn't there to witness. I had a twin brother. That I was telling the devotees. In the 70s, people living in India, very simple places. So we have three houses. All the houses, one was kitchen, another one is living house, another one is goshala. I have one house. So I could have all the strong, still, based from the drinking milk. Our own cows, we got one guy would come and drink milk to come. That milk was for the family. So, you know. So we're sleeping, my other brother, and a snake came, a cobra, over my body and beat my other brother, and he died in 10 minutes. This is not a new thing in India. There's all the people dying from snake bites in the villages. So I was meant to live because the snake over my body and beat him. So I'm meant to live and be a devotee. If I'm not a devotee of Krishna, then maybe the snake would have beaten me. So I'm meant to be Krishna's devotee. That's why whenever I see a snake, I can get my tail. Yeah. No snake come near me. You know. So the point is, Krishna is protecting us. If we have the will and desire to serve Krishna, and Krishna will protect us. That's our purpose of existing. The purpose of our living is to serve Krishna. We have other motives, and then you're on your own. We always need to feel Krishna with us. You don't think money, home, these things are not a shelter.
This can all go. And just recently, one of the richest people in the world, billionaire, he went to watch the football in UK and had an accident, a helicopter, he died. So you could be sleeping on money, but your time's up, you can't enjoy. So only thing you can take with you is your spiritual advancement, Krishna consciousness, God with you. He's well with us. Anything else, you have to leave it here. Okay. Thank you very much. There's a lot of things we can talk, but I just wanted to share the stories of her today because in connection with her Krishna consciousness.
Thank you.
She's not an ordinary mother. She is unique because we can see. They said, sadhan karna, bhajan karna, marja janya hoy. Bengali thing. It doesn't matter what you do, sadhana or bhajana, you have to know the art of dying. So, the time of death is the time when you test it. They say, oh no, no, I'll be Hare Krishna, I'll chant, I'll go to the temple when I'm 60, 70. Hare Baba, you can die before that. There's no guarantee, you can die any time. So, anyway, so, we need to be Krishna conscious from early age and feel the presence of Krishna. Okay, feeling Krishna conscious by chanting Hare Krishna, associating devotees, and feel the protection of Krishna wherever we are. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Vrinda.